GM, GM, you're listening to the Rise and Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph with me, Gareth Jenkinson. I'm covering for Robert Baggs this week while he's on the ground at NFT.nyc, getting the scoop on all things NFT related. If you're looking for a recap of the latest happenings from the world of crypto, you've come to the right place. As always, I'm going to ask you to smash that follow button, grab yourself a cup of coffee as we get into this episode. Solana stakers are in a spin with $24 million of ST Sol currently locked on liquid staking platform Lido due to a faulty smart contract. Meanwhile, crypto staking rewards are way outperforming dividends paid out in the S&P 500. We're talking 450% higher. Hut 8 CEO Asher Genoot believes Bitcoin miner bankruptcies will be less common this cycle. And speaking of Bitcoin, the US Department of Justice has reportedly moved $2 billion worth of BTC linked to Silk Road. I've got all those stories and more in today's episode. Let's dive into the details. It's a nightmarish situation all cryptocurrency stakers fear, your tokens being stuck due to a faulty smart contract. That's what's happened to tokenized staked Solana users who had locked up tokens on liquid staking platform Lido. An estimated 24 million in ST Sol has been unintentionally locked up on Lido due to a faulty smart contract. Lido on Solana, which once let users effectively stake any amount of Solana for a 5% yield, was sunset in October last year due to unsustainable financials and low fees. Users had until February this year to unstake their Solana through a user-friendly interface. Unfortunately, that has also been taken offline, which has left many having to manually unstake their remaining ST Sol using Solana's command line interface. This is proving difficult for some users, according to messages on Lido's Discord channel late last month. SolScan data shows there's as much as 24 million worth of ST Sol still in circulation across 31,500 holders. However, P2P Validator, the team which initially rolled out Lido on Solana, has highlighted an issue with the smart contract responsible for the withdrawal function. According to product manager Pavel Pavlov, P2P is unable to remedy the situation and is reaching out to the Lido DAO to potentially change the smart contract. My colleague Felix Ng also reached out to Lido Finance for comment on the situation. Cointelegraph has not received a reply as of yet, so this story is one that we'll be keeping our eye on. Let's shift to another crypto staking story, which might leave some TradFi investors slightly green with envy. The average crypto staking reward is now 450% higher than the average dividend paid out to investors in the S&P 500, despite there being strong growth across both of those markets. My colleague from Australia, Kieran Lyons, covered this intriguing story, which suggests that institutional investors are beginning to look hard at the substantial difference between crypto staking rewards and conventional stock dividend yields. On March 31, the S&P 500, the index that tracks the 500 largest public companies in the United States, recorded its best first quarter growth performance in 5 years at 10.16% as per Google Finance data. But that average dividend yield rate of 1.35% was the lowest recorded in roughly 2.5 years. Meanwhile, crypto staking, which involves locking up cryptocurrency tokens to earn interest or rewards, currently pays out an annual average return of 6.08%, according to the benchmark reward rate on staking rewards. The S&P 500 dividend yield is the average dividend payout of all the individual stocks within the index. Of the three largest S&P 500 companies, Microsoft recorded the largest dividend yield of 0.71%, followed by Apple with 0.56% and Nvidia with 0.02%. Of the top 100 cryptocurrencies, Algorand is currently paying the highest staking reward rate of 84.19%, followed by Cosmos. Of course, there are real risks in high yield staking given that the assets are locked up, meaning investors can't liquidate tokens if the value of the underlying token were to drop. And as we mentioned in the previous story, bad code could also leave you out of pocket and in a tight situation. Nevertheless, institutional investment firms are gearing up to gain exposure to crypto staking. Yesterday's Rising Crypto episode featured a story about Grayscale Investments, new fund tailored to high net worth individuals looking for exposure to income generated from staking cryptocurrency tokens. Grayscale named three proof of stake tokens that made up the bulk of that fund. Osmosis has a 24% share, Solana and Polkadot make up 20 and 14% respectively, while the other 43% of that fund is categorized under other tokens. Cointelegraph has been ramping up coverage ahead of the Bitcoin halving, which is just a couple of weeks away. You can find a direct link to all the relevant coverage right at the top of the Cointelegraph website or the mobile app. I've spoken to a number of Bitcoin mining executives in recent weeks, and the consensus seems to be that the halving might be tough on smaller miners, but larger listed firms should be able to weather the reality of lower BTC rewards for mined blocks. According to Hut 8 CEO Asher Gnut, who was speaking to Bloomberg Crypto this week, there will be less Bitcoin mining firms filing for bankruptcy in the coming years than there were in 2022. Hut 8 CEO says the main cause of bankruptcies 2 years ago came from firms being over-leveraged and unprepared for rising energy costs. He says a lot of companies took on debt to expand in 2021 and could not repay the terms the following year as Bitcoin prices plummeted and energy prices soared. Compute North, Celsius Mining, and Core Scientific, which have since relisted on the NASDAQ, were among several Bitcoin miners that had filed for bankruptcy during the cryptocurrency winter of 2022. Things have changed since then, says Gnut.
Today, for example, price is, I think, bailing a lot of folks out. Where price remained at $30,000, $40,000 with the halving, you'll see a lot more M&A and distress opportunities out there. I think a lot of the growth that we've seen in 23 and even early 24 has been through the equity markets and a lot of folks raising capital through their ATMs and diluting. And so even though you won't see as many bankruptcies due to kind of the under-leverage in terms of that ecosystem, I think you'll see M&A activity just due to an inability to get capital.
That audio was sourced from Gnut's interview on Bloomberg Crypto. The Bitcoin halving is currently slated for April 20, when block 840,000 is reached. The event will reduce miner rewards from 6.25 Bitcoin to 3.125 Bitcoin. While miners are looking to produce more Bitcoin, United States authorities are looking to offload seized Bitcoin linked to the Silk Road darknet marketplace. As my US-based colleague Turner Wright reported yesterday, roughly $2 billion in Bitcoin previously seized by US authorities has moved to a new address. A wallet known to be associated with the US Justice Department transferred 30,174 Bitcoin valued at $2 billion at the time of publication to a new address. Online sleuths identified the DOJ wallet as the same one containing Bitcoin seized from James Zhang, who in 2022 was convicted of charges connected to unlawfully obtained crypto from Silk Road. Zhang stole more than 50,000 Bitcoin from Silk Road in 2012. Nearly 10 years later, US authorities raided his property and discovered hard wallets containing that stolen Bitcoin. The bulk of the seized crypto was sent to the same address that moved more than 30,000 Bitcoin on the 2nd of April. In March 2023, US government authorities reported they had sold roughly 9,861 Bitcoin of the crypto seized from Zhang for more than $215 million, leaving roughly about 40,000 Bitcoin left. The April 2nd transaction followed the price of Bitcoin dropping more than 7% to reach $65,400 at the time of publication. The Silk Road Marketplace, which has been defunct for more than 10 years, allowed users to buy and sell illicit goods, including weapons, drugs, and stolen credit card information. U.S. authorities arrested its creator, Ross Ulbricht, in 2013. He's serving two life sentences without the possibility of parole. And finishing off with your last story this morning, Ethereum restaking could become the foundation of new decentralized finance applications, but it could also introduce a number of hidden risks. That's according to Coinbase analysts David Han and David Duong, who weighed up the pros and cons of restaking and the issuance of liquid restaking tokens, also known as LRTs. Ethereum restaking protocol EigenLayer allows users to earn extra rewards, those LRTs I mentioned, by securing actively validated services by staking derivative tokens, which are given to those who have already staked Ether through liquid staking protocols such as Lido. When EigenLayer was first launched, the analyst explained the restaking process should be fairly straightforward, but a feature of EigenLayer is that staked tokens committed to one AVS can be staked to another AVS. And they say while this can increase earnings, it also compounds risks as it allocates the same funds to similar validators for increased yields. Secondly, the addition of LRTs means restakers could become concentrated into more high-risk providers offering the highest yields. To quote, as such, LRTs may be incentivized to maximize their yields in order to gain market share, but these could come at the cost of a higher, albeit hidden, risk profile. Despite the risk, the Coinbase analyst said EigenLayer's restaking protocol looks poised to become the bedrock for a wide range of new services and middleware on Ethereum, which in turn could generate a meaningful source of ETH rewards for validators in the future. On the 6th of March, EigenLayer flipped lending giant Aave to become the second largest DeFi protocol, commanding a total of $11.5 billion in total value locked. That's according to data from DeFi Llama, and it's second only to Ethereum liquid staking protocol Lido. And that is it for today. Thank you so much for listening to the Rise and Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. Again, if you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. I'll be back tomorrow with your next crypto news fix.